to 12. You'll find that on page 1785 of your Pew Bibles. We're going to read the entire chapter. Let's pay careful attention now to the reading of God's Word. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the same work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. And to our text this morning. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Congregation, this is God's holy and inerrant word. I'd invite you to keep your Bibles open as we go through this passage. It'll help you to follow along. brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. As is the practice in this church, this morning we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. Now, if you haven't talked to one of the elders or spent some time in preparation, we'd ask that you refrain from our practice and do not partake of the cup or the bread. The elders would also like to take this opportunity to remind members of the congregation that the Lord's Supper is not to be seen as a substitute for breakfast or as a substitute for lunch. Members are invited to come up in an orderly way and follow the instructions of the pastor. Please don't drink to excess. This week's Bible study is going to be on the topic, which gift is the better one? Gifts of healing or speaking in tongues? Members are asked to please don't jump between study groups and follow your favourite Bible study leader. Some groups are getting too big, and some groups have hardly anyone in it. Now, if you heard this mock announcement when you came to a church, you'd be thinking to yourself, what on earth is going on here? What kind of church is this? But this mock announcement that I've just given you illustrates some of the problems that were in the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth were arguing over who was the greater pastor. They were having difficulties with sexual immorality. They were taking each other to court. They were arguing about food sacrificed to idols, whether you should wear headscarves in church, and the Lord's Supper. Well, the Lord's Supper was a mess. But if we think of our own day, if we think of the wider North America, are things really that much different? We live in the age of the cult of the celebratory pastor. The wider churches are bending over backwards to embrace the new sexuality that the world is embracing. Churches are doing everything they can to look like the world, to be inviting to the world. But at least we're better than that. At least we don't have those problems. Or do we? Do you sometimes compare your pastor to other pastors or other pastors to your pastor? Do we not struggle in our marriages in the church? Do we not struggle with sexuality in our churches and the message that the world is giving? Are we not really good in our churches at judging each other, at looking at our brothers and sisters and saying, what part do they play in the church? How do they contribute to the church? At least I don't sin in the ways that they do. No. The message that Paul wrote to the Corinthians is equally applicable to us this morning. In chapter 11, Paul has been speaking to the Corinthians about worship and how they should worship. He speaks to them about the Lord's Supper. And then in chapter 12, he begins to speak to them about spiritual gifts, a major issue in the church at Corinth. It seems the Corinthians were arguing about which gift was the better gift. Was it a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues? And Paul tells the Corinthians, it's not the gifts that are important. It's not the gifts themselves. Rather, it is the giver of the gift, he who gives the gift to you. He mentions there in verses 8 to 11, again and again, through the Spirit, the same Spirit, one Spirit. It's the Spirit who gives you the gifts. And then in verse 12, he goes on to talk about the human body as an illustration of how the Corinthian church was to behave, how they were to see themselves. And that leads us to our theme this morning. We are to live in the reality of one body, many parts and one spirit. We are to live in the reality of one body, many parts and one spirit. We're going to see that in 3 points. Our first point is one body because of one spirit. One body because of one spirit. Secondly, the one body needs diversity in its parts. The one body needs diversity in its parts. And thirdly, in the one body, all the parts are vital. In the one body, all the parts are vital. So firstly then, we have one body because of one spirit. We see that in verses 12 and 13. Paul is tying in here the idea of the same spirit, and he uses the picture of the human body. He says there in verse 12, the body is a human, as a unit. He's speaking of the human body here. Though the body is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And we can understand that, can't we? We have arms and legs and heads. But he's also speaking about the spiritual body. And that's what he means there in the second half of verse 12, where he says, so it is with Christ. Turn back over the page to chapter 10. In chapter 10, Paul is warning the Corinthians not to follow Israel's example. And then he turns in verse 14 to the Lord's Supper and idol feasts. He says to them in verse 16 of chapter 10, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. So when Paul is saying, so it is with Christ in verse 12 of chapter 12, he is saying, so it is with the body of Christ. So it is with Christ's body, the church. He goes on in verse 13, for we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, this is the new reality. You have come out of the world. You have been brought by the Spirit into this new body, the spiritual body, the body of Christ. And in the background here, is the Spirit applying the work of Christ to the lives of the Corinthians? What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2? What was he going to preach to the Corinthians? Nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. This was the gospel. This was the message that he was bringing to the Corinthian church. So the background here is Christ and his work. And the Spirit applies that to our lives. He applied it to the lives of the Corinthians. He brought them into this body. They were baptized by one Spirit. And then in this body, the backgrounds that they brought in, whether they were Jews or Greeks, whether they were slaves or free, those distinctions didn't become important. If Paul was talking to us today, he'd say, in this church here, whatever your background, whether you're Reformed or Presbyterian, Dutch or Frisian, Chinese, American, or even Kiwi, you're all part of this one body. You all belong to this one body. The distinctions, the background, the different ideas that you have, they aren't the point. The point is that you've been brought into this body by the one Spirit through the work of Jesus Christ. So we can apply this to our lives this morning, immediately. We need to see ourselves as part of that new body. We need to see our brothers and sisters as part of that body as well. We need to see that our background, whatever baggage we take into this church, the important thing to remember is that we are all one. through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the work of Jesus Christ. We were all made to drink. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. And this makes Paul's point further home. You see, this isn't something that we've done. It's the Holy Spirit that brought us into the body. We were given the one Spirit to drink. So this is a work of grace. It's not because of our merit. It's despite our backgrounds that we are brought into this body. Notice too how Paul uses the word all three times in these two verses. He's trying to make a point. And even more, the word use of the word one. He's been using that all throughout the chapter. And in these verses, 12 and 13, he uses this word five times. He's trying to make a point. You are one body, one spirit. So we are one body because of one spirit. We are to live in the reality of this one body. But this body has many parts. And this body needs diversity, and that's our second point this morning. The one body needs diversity in parts. The one body needs diversity in parts. We see that in verses 14 to 20. And Paul puts some bookends here. He says in verse 14, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but the many." And then in verse 20 he flips it around. "As it is, there are many parts, but one body." And Paul uses here a metaphor, a word picture, to drive home this point, to show that the one body needs diversity in its parts. And he uses two parallels in verses 15 and 16. "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body." Paul is saying to the Corinthians here, just because you aren't the part, the body part in the church that you think you should be, it doesn't change the reality that you still are part of the body. Just because you think you aren't part of the body, it doesn't change the reality that you are part of the body. He goes on in verse 17, and the word picture becomes even more graphic, even more ridiculous. "If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body," in verse 16. But he goes on in 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Now, boys and girls, imagine that sitting here on the pulpit is one giant big eye. And on this side of the pulpit is one giant big ear. Now, this giant big ear isn't a person, is it? This giant eye isn't a person either. What's missing? Well, the rest of the body is missing, isn't it? You see, to make up a body, you need to have all the body parts. And all the body parts are important. In fact, the fact that you have the many different body parts is the fact that makes it a body. The one body needs diversity in its parts. And we can apply that to our lives this morning too, can't we? This body here needs diversity in its parts. Do you think that because you're not an eye, you don't belong to the body? Because you're not a hand, you don't belong to the body? That does not change the reality that God has put you there, that you are a part of the body. Do you think that you have got nothing to offer in terms of your gifts? Do you think, men, because you don't have the gifts to serve as an elder, that lets you off the hook? Do you think because you can't whip up a wonderful meal at a moment's notice that excuses you from hospitality? Did God make a mistake? Did God make a mistake by putting you here in this church? No, we read in verse 18. In fact, God has arranged the parts within the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you are part of this church for a reason. God has put you here. We don't all need to be an eye. We don't all need to be an ear. In fact, the fact that what makes this body, our body, is that we are all different, that we have different ideas, that we have different backgrounds. And it is God who has put you here. God didn't make cookie-cutter Christians. We don't all need to look the same. In fact, if we all looked the same, we would be like this giant eye or this giant ear. We wouldn't be a body. So we don't get to choose because God has chosen for us. He has placed us here in this church. And we need to consider what our gifts are. We need to ask others and look for opportunities to serve. Whether we're young or whether we're old, don't we sometimes think as we get older, we've done our bit, let someone else have a go? No, each and every one of us, whatever age, has a part to play in this church. So this one body needs diversity in its parts. This one body is one body because the Spirit binds it together. We are to live in the reality of one body, many parts, and one Spirit. But Paul isn't finished. He's dealt with those who think they aren't important. But now he moves on to those who think they are important, that they are the most important thing. And that leads us to our third point this morning. In verses 21 to 26, we see that in the one body, all the parts are vital. In the one body, all the parts are vital. Paul reverses the metaphor here. In the first metaphor, the body part didn't think it was important. But here, the body part thinks it's very important. In fact, so important that it doesn't need the other members. In verse 21 we read, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" Again, the picture here is silly, isn't it? An eye by itself can do nothing. Let's see you catch that ball, eye without a hand. Let's see you walk down the aisle to the back and to the front again. Head without a foot, head without feet. It doesn't make sense, does it? Paul goes on in verse 22, "Things again are not what they seem. On the contrary," he says, "those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. Things are not what they seem. Just because a body part seems weaker or indispensable, it doesn't mean that that is the case. In fact, the reverse is the case. In verse 23, Paul goes on and says, "The parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty." Paul's literally speaking here about our private parts, about the parts that we cover up with clothes. He's saying, you wouldn't walk out in public with no clothes on, you'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you? No, you treat those body parts with honour. You treat them with respect. And so it is in the body of Christ. But again, who is it that has put this body together? Who is it that has combined the members of this body? In the second half of verse 24 we read, "But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it." God has put this body together. He has removed the distinctions, Jew or Greek, slave or free, rich or poor, gifted or not so gifted. It is God who has put those parts together, and it is God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, that gives equal honour to all of those parts. Now, as we've been going through this passage, we've been reading about parts and members. One commentator suggests that this isn't strong enough. What really the words we should be using are limbs and organs. And then verses 24 and 25 read something like this. God has combined the limbs and organs of the body and has given greater honour to the limbs and the organs that lacked it, so that this body won't tear itself apart, so that an arm won't be pulled away from the torso, a leg won't be ripped off, the body won't tear itself to pieces. That's the point that Paul is trying to make here. And what does it look like when this body, when there is no division in the body? What is the reason, not only to prevent division, that God has put this body together? In the second half of verse 25 we read, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. No distinctions in this body. Equal care for each and every member of the body of Christ. And then if one part suffers, every single body part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. So are you the eye saying to the hand, I don't need you? Now, none of us would admit to that, would we? But what if you have those gifts? What if you have the gifts here in the church? What if God has gifted you with the ability to lead, the ability to serve? Then you need to take care, dear brother and sister. You need to take care that you don't look down on the other members of the body. Pride comes before the fall. Give thanks to God for your gift, yes. But use your gift for His kingdom. Use your gift to serve the body. And we all fall into this trap, don't we? It's very easy to look at the parents of other people's children, isn't it, and make judgments. They're obviously not very good parents. Look at their kids. What does so-and-so do in the church? Why doesn't so-and-so ever seem to do anything? Things are not what they seem. You don't know what some of the members in this body are doing and how they're serving the kingdom. And more importantly, use your gifts to help others to use their gifts. Step back and allow other people to serve sometimes and encourage them, help them. Don't look down on each other. Remember the reality of who we are. There are no distinctions in the body of Christ. We are one body because of one Spirit. So how do we do that? How do we work on unity in this body of Christ here this morning? Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to know each other, don't we? We have to learn about each other. And that means as many people as we can in this church. Now, it's difficult, isn't it, in a church of this size, to get to know everyone, if not near impossible. But it's also very easy, after the service, to go and talk in your circle of friends, to fellowship during the week with the people that you know. Because let's face it, it's difficult to go and talk to that person who has different ideas to you, isn't it? It's different to go and talk to that person who's socially awkward. But to care for the body, we need to know the body. We need to know each other. So I would encourage you this morning, I would challenge you. Talk to those you don't know. Make an effort to reach out to others. We have a wonderful opportunity this Saturday morning to serve in the community. What a great chance to go and serve in the community, spread the gospel, but also to get to know each other better. Let's look for opportunities to serve each other and help each other. And if you don't think you have gifts, this passage teaches you that you are a part of the body, that you do have gifts. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell the body of Christ short. If you withdraw, if you stay out on the fringes, then in many ways what you're trying to do is make the body walk on one foot. Or it's like trying to listen to directions when you haven't got any ears. The body can't work like that, can it? And don't look down on others. Help each other. Use your gifts. Give thanks to God for your gifts. But help others to serve. We are one body congregation. That is the reality. That is the reality that we have here. There is no need to change that. Because we are one body in one spirit through the work of Jesus Christ. We are one body with many members and many parts. But every single one of us here are vital. Every single one of us have a part to play. No matter how big, no matter how small, we each have a part to play. And if you are not a part of this body, then you don't share in the blessings of this body. Then you don't share in the blessings of being part of the body of Christ. All the blessings that Christ gives us, that Christ obtained for us through his death and resurrection and his ascension. And then you are withdrawing yourself from the body. You are not aiding the body. So I'd urge you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, pray that the Holy Spirit would work in your heart. Talk to fellow members in the congregation. Talk to the elders. Talk to the pastor. That the Holy Spirit would draw you too into this body. That you too would become part of this body of Christ. And for all of us, this message, who are in the body of Christ, this is reassuring, isn't it? We are all equal in this body. And through the work of the Spirit, we remain a part of this body. We cannot be removed, if we are in Christ, from this body. One body with vital parts. One body that needs diversity. It is a body because of the many parts. One body because of one spirit. We are indeed to live in the reality of one body, many parts, and one spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that as the body of Christ, you have chosen us. You have chosen us to be part of that body, that you have brought us in through the work of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that wonderful reality of who we are as the body. We thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us has a vital part to play in this church, that our diversity gives us unity. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Help us to use those gifts. Help us not to write ourselves off as unimportant, but to realize that as part of this body, you call us to serve in this body. And help us to use our gifts wisely, without pride. Help us not to look down on others, but help us to get alongside each other. Help us to encourage each other. We thank you, Lord, for that tremendous reality that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer with it. But also, when one part of the body is glorified, we all rejoice with it. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to laugh and cry together as a body. We thank you that these things are possible only through Jesus Christ, in whose name now we pray. Amen.